Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight with our panel to continue our discussion of in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. We're going to start from verse 12, but we were looking at the fact of the experiences of Christ in verses 8 through 15. Talks about how Jesus Christ, that these Hebrew Christians, just to recap, there were some Christians in the book of Hebrews. I'm getting a little feedback. So sometimes we get feedback. We ask them if you mute the line. But in the book of Hebrews, what happened was there were some Christians who had come out of Judaism, some believers who had come out of Judaism, and they left the old covenant teaching under the Levitical system. And they realized Christ had come forth and Christ had fulfilled the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to Christ in types and shadows. And so what happened was these believers realized that Christ had come and he fulfilled the Old Covenant and he was the reality of the New Covenant or the New Testament. So therefore, there was no need to worship in types and shadows. Mm-hmm. There was a need to come out of the types and shadows and follow Christ, okay? So, and seeing this, these believers were then visited by, they called them the Judaizers, who were people who were beholding or to Judaism. And they were telling these believers, yeah, you're saved, but you need to add to your salvation circumcision. You need to add to your salvation the ritual of festivals and the food sacrifices and all these different things. So what was happening, these believers were to be confirmed or established in grace. And we said grace is just simply Christ in us, okay? God was in Christ. Christ is in us. He's the hope of glory. And he's the process Christ, meaning that he went through, he was, you know, God before he became incarnate was God, divinity. But after God went through, when Christ came and was incarnated, became in the flesh, he put on, it was God in Christ. And Christ said that he was the visible image of the invisible God. If you saw Christ, you saw God, okay? So when Christ came, he tabernacled with man. And so after he was processed, and we say processed simply because Christ had to go through incarnation, human living, suffering, crucifixion, burial, resurrection, and then ascension. And we see here in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 why he had to be processed. So not only is he fully God, he's also fully man, okay? He had to be because he had to qualify to be our heavenly high priest. And so remember in the Old Testament, Christ was the high priest in the Levitical system pointed to Christ and his ministry in types and shadow. But Christ coming to fulfill that in the reality is now seated in heaven and makes intercession for us as our heavenly high priest. And therefore, when we read in the book of Hebrews, Paul is encouraging these believers not to go back to the old covenant or the Old Testament that pointed to Christ in types and shadows, okay? He's telling them to go on and go forward, cross over outside of religion and earthly and human organization and go into the Holy of Holies beyond or behind the veil, where Christ ministers in the heaven, okay? This is just a recap of where we are now with Christ. So we as believers, it's not enough for us to embrace Christ in religion or types and shadows or in a human organization and religious organizations alone. The church life goes beyond four walls, okay? And yes. So many times we get used to the four walls and religious works and activities and regulations and activities and all these different things that we miss Christ. And we established that fact last week. There are many things at this time, during the time of the Christians here in the book of Hebrews, the Judaizers along with many other things, came along to distract them from grace or Christ. And we said grace is simply God in us to express his life. We're vessels. We're vessels of honor so that God's life can be expressed in and through us. So when we accept Jesus Christ, regeneration takes place in our human spirit. Our spirit has now has God added to us. That's what regeneration is, and this is why we're born again. But the believer has to go on and continue to let the Spirit of God permeate not only his human spirit that's been regenerated and uplifted, but our mind, our soul, and our body has to be permeated as well by the Spirit of God, okay?
Amen.
This is why Christ is in us. He's called the hope of glory because his life is in us to permeate and to give us, to spread, saturate our entire being. If my mind is not willing to change, then I'm not going to change in my will nor my emotions. Amen?
Amen.
So this is why we have to allow the energy, just like a power plant. When you go, a power plant is installed or set up way miles away from houses or what have you. But because of the electrical, the lines and the switches that are installed in those houses, you don't have to be near the power plant to get power or life into that house, right? All you have to do is turn the switch on. And God's life can permeate and by us being open to the Spirit of God, see, not to my fleshly desires, not to my will. I have to learn, this is the purpose of the cross. The cross nails me. It nails my passions and my lusts. I have to be crucified with Christ. And when this happens, the switch comes on. The life can flow, or the energy of the Spirit can flow in my life and through my life. But if I, as a Christian, refuse to allow this switch or refuse to allow the Spirit to permeate and saturate me by turning the switch on, and by turning the switch on, we're simply meaning that I have to submit to God's way, the cross. Mm-hmm. And once I submit to his way, God's life flows through me. Even though Christ is in heaven, the power plant is far away, but his life is infused in my life and transforms me as I am yielding and surrendered to the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 13, and I want to go back to verse 12 and 13. Read those two verses, and we'll take off from here.
Okay. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach.
All right. So last time we talked about going outside the camp, bearing the reproach of Jesus Christ. And so what we're seeing here, notice, he says, and I'm reading the expanded Greek, therefore also Jesus, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Now, when we go back to the Old Testament, I think it was in Leviticus 16 and Leviticus chapter 4. Here is this sacrifice and the food sacrifices that these believers were, these Judaizers were pointing to in verse 10, were pointing to the sin offering. And when you go back to Leviticus, you can read about the sin offering. And there, the sin offering took care of our sins and sin without an S, okay? And what sin without an S is our sinful nature. And what the sins with an S is dealing with our trespasses and all these different things. So what happens is they would have to, if anybody sinned against God, the priest would have to offer a lamb, a bullock, a ram, or what have you. And there was a process, and the lamb had to be sacrificed. First, it had to be perfect and had to be examined to make sure there was no blemishes. Then it had to be killed, and it would have, the skin would be removed and all these different things, and the blood would be taken, and then the animal has to be taken outside of the camp and burned, okay, all of it, the skin and all the kidneys and all these different things. And the blood would be taken and applied to the altar, in the brazen altar, and then in the Holy of Holies, it'd be placed on the altar there, okay, or the Ark of the Covenant there. So what this shows or points to is Christ. This was a type of Christ as our sin offering, where he came and he was sacrificed. His blood was shed, and he was sacrificed at Golgotha, and that was outside of the camp, outside of the religion, or outside of the city. That's what the gate is here, okay? The gate represented, it was outside the city. And so Christ had to suffer in order to become the sanctifier of the people. See, it says, therefore also Jesus, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, not the animal's blood. Because we read, if you go above in verse 11, you'll see that the bodies of the animals was taken, and it tells you and explain that. But later on, you'll see that blood, the blood of bulls and bullocks could not, it only covered sin annually or every so often, but the people's conscience was constantly reminded of their sin because they would do something against God because it was in their nature. But Christ, having come in verse 12, he was the actual sacrifice. He was that which was pointed to in types and shadows in the Old Testament, but he became the reality in the book of Matthew when he stepped on the scene, okay? In the Gospels, we see him, he couldn't perform his ministry until 30 years old. When you go to the Old Testament, you'll see the Levites or the priests could not perform until 30 and on up, I think it was. So all of this, if you go to the Old, you'll see the reality in the New, okay? So Christ had to be killed, had to suffer and go through all this stuff so that he could become our heavenly high priest in order to sanctify us.
Amen.
Sanctification simply means that we are set apart to be changed. Y'all see this? It means that God says, okay, you're saved. Once I give my life to Christ, I'm saved. Now I'm on the starting block of change. Doesn't mean that I just go on, sit on a pew and do nothing or get involved, just get caught up in works and religious activities and get pulled away from Christ. This is what so many of us as Christians have experienced. I don't know about y'all, but I've experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sincere desire for Christ, but what I was pointed to pulled me away from this process of change.
Yes.
We get started right, but something comes along and distracts us or pulls us away from Christ. And this is what he's saying. This is why we have to be confirmed in grace. And established in grace. Remember, grace is God in us to be our life and our expression so that his life can come forth through us and we be the representation of him here on earth. It's not earned. It's not deserved. Okay? But God gives us this by faith. When we evidence faith, when I evidence faith in Christ and saw a need for him, God's life came into me. His life was added into me. That's regeneration, okay? Any questions before I go further on that?
Thank God for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Lord. So this is why we can boldly come to the throne of grace. Before, the veil, you know, the veil was there. We couldn't approach, and everybody couldn't go into the courts and into the holy place, in the most holy place. It had to be the priest or the high priest, right? And only the high priest could go into the holy of holies.
Amen.
Amen. So here, like you said, it was only, we were barred out. So again, thank God for Jesus Christ. And this is why we have to see Christ. This is why he told Peter, feed my sheep, feed Christ, feed them Christ. We have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and this is what it means. We have to get comprehension of what all this and how it affects our experiences on a day-to-day basis, not just religious acrobats and activity. It takes experiencing Christ on these levels, understanding how this is to be worked out in my life on a day-to-day basis, not just memorizing scriptures, but taking it and actually studying it to know and comprehend the will of God for our lives. Amen?
Amen.
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 So here, amen. So here, he in verse 12, he is the sanctifier, okay? So by us, it says here, he might be, it says, let me read it. Christ is the sanctifier. He suffered death on the cross, shedding his blood, and entered the Holy of Holies with his blood. That's in Hebrews 9:12, that by the heavenly ministry of his heavenly priesthood, and that's in chapter 7:26, he might be able to do the sanctifying work and that we might enter within the veil by his blood to participate in him as the heavenly sanctifier. See that? So when the priest could enter in with the blood of the animals, that was a type or picture of us becoming the royal priesthood. See, we're a priesthood in Christ, and we can enter in because the veil has been torn. When his flesh was torn, when he was crucified at the cross, the veil representing his flesh was torn for us. So now all can come, and it's not just a select group of people or of the Levitical system. He made all of us a royal priesthood. Y'all see this?
Amen.
So now all those things, remember, if somebody sinned, whether it was a priest or whether it was somebody outside of the priesthood or what have you, there was, they had to participate in the sin offering, okay? And so the sequence of the offerings, and I just want you to see this, is that first it was the burnt offering that was offered. It wasn't, see, in my mind, I would think the sin offering should come first to deal with my sins, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was the burnt offering that was offered first. And the burnt offering, the reason why is because Christ, it showed that Christ was God's absolute. He was absolutely for God. He was God's absolute best. So Christ was absolutely for God. So the burnt offering was offered first. So my basis of coming and approaching God is based upon Christ being absolutely for God. You see this? These offerings portrayed Christ. Then it was the meal offering. So we get to enjoy Christ and get a life supply day by day. Sister Cherry, you were talking about walking and being led by the Spirit. It's because of Christ, the meal offering, which was the meal without leaven mingled or mixed with oil. Okay, and oil represented the life supply or the Spirit being poured out into us. And so, therefore, we enjoy Christ's life or his life supply, and we live by him on a day-to-day basis. Out of that, because he was God's best and he was absolutely for God, we can now have the meal offering and we can have his, enjoy his life supply. The peace, we have peace with God.
Yeah.
And because, based upon the three offerings, our sins are exposed. And although we have peace with God because of his blood being shed on our behalf, we still sin from day to day, right?
Right.
Because we're in this body of flesh, we're going to have hang-ups and hook-ups and we're going to fail. But it's because of the sin offering, which takes care of the sin nature, the old man, and it takes care of our sins, our trespasses, on a day-to-day basis. So all of this is Christ. All of this is in Christ. I only said that for you to see what's all in Christ.
Amen.
These offerings represented all that Christ is to God in the eyes of God. So when I come based upon faith, all of these things are applied to me. See this? Because I'm in Christ. Christ is God. He was absolutely for God. So therefore, by me being in Christ, God is making me absolutely. Christ is making me absolutely for God's purposes. I'm not there yet completely.
Amen.
And I won't be there until I'm raptured out or taken out of here, right? But All of this is in Christ. I can enjoy him because he's my meal offering. I can have peace with God and man because he's the peace offering. And I can, and my sins are, I get exposed, they get exposed to me, and I'm forgiven because of him being the sin offering. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So this is why he's the sanctifier, because he, as the high priest, performs these things in our life on a day-to-day basis, spiritually. Whereas in the Old Testament, we saw them physically. We saw men doing it, but it was to portray a type and shadow of what Christ would do for us in reality. Amen?
Amen.
Now, 13, what does it say?
Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach.
Now, it says, the Lord's blood through which he entered into the Holy of Holies, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, open the new and living way, enabling us to enter within the veil to enjoy him in the heavens as the glorified one. And his body, which was sacrificed for us on the cross, it cut the narrow way of the cross, enabling us to go outside the camp to follow him on earth as the suffering one. See? So, because of Christ's sanctifying work, he tore his death and all that stuff, tore the veil, he fulfilled all of the sacrifices, it made a way for me now to enter into the Holy of Holies.
Yes.
You see this? So I have to, you and I have to go to the Holy of Holies first. He didn't go to the Holy of Holies first. He went outside the camp to be crucified first. See this? He didn't need, his death wasn't for him, his sin. It was for our sin. So he went outside the camp first. We don't go outside the camp first.
Amen.
Because of his death, he cut the way, the narrow way, which is the cross. And because the way is narrow, I can't take my excess baggage, sin, self, the world, Satan. You see this? Paul said, I am dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Y'all see this?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, we have to crucify our passions along with our lust. This is something we have to do, meaning that I have to follow Christ outside the camp by first allowing the sanctifier to deal with me. This is the part where we struggle the most. I'm the only one that can say this.
No, you ain't.
When they come across and they say something you don't like, or people do something that's contrary to the way you want things done, guess who wants to show up? Your passions and your lust.
The flesh.
Yes. Self wants to show up and show out because it should be this way. And I've been here all this time. And why they, can y'all attest to that, right?
Amen.
So what happens, I have to learn to go beyond the veil, in the veil, where God is, Christ is the sanctifier, and let him deal with me. See, this is where I decrease, because I'm, and we're going to see here when it says, let us therefore go forth unto him. It didn't say go to that person. It didn't say go give him peace of your mind. It didn't say go to your soulish man, which entails your mind, your will, and your emotions. Y'all know we hang out in the emotions, right? So he said, let us go unto him. Where is he at? He's seated in heavenly places. He is connected to us through the Spirit who is in us. Remember when at regeneration, when we accepted Christ, the life-giving Spirit, Christ became the life-giving Spirit. And he says, now he is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now Christ is a life-giving Spirit in us, and we're connected to him. See, Christ, remember the power plant. Christ, you say, how can he be in two places at one time? Well, the power plant, which supplies the power, is not here with us in our houses, right?
Amen.
The power plant is way somewhere else. But yet, the flow of electricity gets to us by all of the currents and the wires and all these things, and I just flip the switch, right?
Yes.
So the Spirit of God is in me, who is connected to the heavenly Christ, and when I turn to him and not to my emotions and not to myself, then God the Sanctifier can deal with me, and I can follow him outside of the camp. And outside the camp represents religion, outside of religion. See, these believers were, these Hebrew Christians were being influenced to go back to Judaism by the Judaizers. They were trying to pull them back away from Christ and back into religion. We can be pulled or distracted by anything in our lives, anything that comes and take precedence over Christ. It's something that can pull us back into the camp. We have to go outside the camp. When you look at the Old Testament and the tabernacle and stuff, the camp entailed where all the tribes camped out around the tabernacle, that tent, right? That was the religion of Judaism. We have to go, and then the same thing within the city in Jerusalem. We got to go outside of the city and the camp. And the city represents the earthly realm, see? And the camp represents human organization, religion. So Christ was rejected by religion and rejected by the earthly. They didn't want the kingdom. They didn't want Christ in his kingdom. They wanted him crucified. You see this? So he had to bear a reproach. Bearing a reproach is like a branding. It's like the branding that a slave owner puts on his slave, okay, to say that this person is mine.
Mm-hmm.
They belong to me. And we can see this example where Paul, all throughout his ministry, he had to bear the reproach of following Christ. And he told the believers, he's like, listen, do y'all want to follow these folks, and all they want to do is make a show of you? They just want you as a prized possession to say they got followers. But me, I've got all these, you know, things that I've encountered that, you know, following Christ is an offense, pretty much is what he was saying. So these marks in the King James translation, I think it's translates to in Galatians 6:17, it talks about marks. Let's go there for a minute. Y'all keep your fingers here at verse 13, and let's go to Galatians 6, verse 17. We sometimes do some finger exercises just to prove the point or to show the scriptures, how it bears it out here in the scriptures. So in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, I want us to see what it means about bearing the reproach of Christ. We first realize we have to go outside the camp, but we said in order to go outside the camp, I must first go into the holy of holies, beyond the veil with Christ, okay? I have to follow Christ. I have to go there first before I can go outside the camp. I have to be dealt with because Christ is the sanctifier, and he dwells in the holy of holies, in the heavenlies, okay? So remember, in our spirit, this is how the Spirit deals with us from the heavenly perspective. The Holy Spirit is in our spirit. The Spirit of God, the divine nature, is in us. He communes with our human spirit. And this is where he dwells. And from there, he wants to permeate my mind, my will, my emotions, my conscience. Y'all see this?
Amen.
My intuition, all these things, and then eventually my body, when I'm raptured out, it is transformed. He wants to permeate everything. So here on earth, the reproach that we have to bear by going outside the camp is leaving religion and everything that is a distraction, everything earthly, everything humanly, everything that's of religion, religious organization. If it's not Christ and him crucified, I have to deal with the reproach that it will bring from others who don't quite understand what it means by following Christ. So in Hebrews 6, verse 17, we're talking about He says, bearing the reproach. I want you to see here, verse 17. I read it in the King James, and I'll read it in the expanded Greek.
You say Galatians?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
6:17.
From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
All right. The marks branded on slaves to indicate their owners. That's what Paul is saying. So with Paul, a slave of Christ, in Romans 1:1, the brands were physically the scars of his wounds received in his faithful service to his master. You don't have to turn here, but in 2 Corinthians 11:23-27, you can read some of these markings that Paul received because of his ministry of following Christ outside the camp. Paul was in the camp of Judaism at one point in time. And when he was in the camp of Judaism and human in the religion of, or the organization of religion, he was loved. He was embraced, right? Mm-hmm. But only when Paul went outside of the camp did Paul get branded. And he had to bear the marks of following Christ. Y'all see this? Mm-hmm. So I can read those verses, 2 Corinthians 11:23. You don't have to turn there. It says, Paul says, ministers of Christ are they, talking about these folks that claim to be Christians or and they were Judaizers. He says, I speak as being beside myself, I more so, in labors more abundantly, in imprisonment more abundantly, in stripes excessively, in deaths often. See that? Mm-hmm. Under the hands of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. In journeyings often, in dangers of rivers, in dangers of robbers, in dangers from my race, in dangers from the Gentiles, in dangers in the city, in dangers in the wilderness, in dangers in the sea, in dangers among false brothers, in labor and hardship, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
He said, apart from the things which have not been mentioned, there is this, the crowd of cares pressing upon me daily, the anxious concern for all the churches. You see all those things that Paul had to deal with? These are the marks or the brandings of a believer who's going outside of the camp of religion to follow the reproach or bear the reproach of Christ.
Amen.
The brand or mark, and this is what it means, it says a mark pricked in or branded upon the body. The ancient Oriental usage, slaves and soldiers bore the name or the stamp of their master or commander branded or pricked or cut into their bodies to indicate what master or general they belong to. These things I just mentioned and read about Paul were the brandings or the mark that showed that he was a follower of Christ outside of the camp of religion.
Amen.
See that?
Yes.
This is the mark. These are the markings of a Christian who's following Christ, who's cut the way through the cross and the narrow way that we have to follow. And not many people want to go the narrow way, even as Christians, because the narrow way is constricted. It's, you know, it's a lot of stuff. We just read what Paul went through. But it is his grace. It is God's life that's given back to us to help us through, to get through these things where we're not looking at or focused on what we're going through. We're focused on him. This is why in Hebrews 12 it says, looking to Jesus, who? The author and the finisher of our faith. See? He says, run this race with patience. How? Looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And the looking in the Greek means looking away from all that will distract, looking to Jesus. This is how we have to run this race. He's already cut the path, and I must stay on this path, and everything will come at you and I to pull us away from following Christ outside of the camp, bearing his reproach. All these things, if you notice, Christ went through the very things that Paul went through and mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on that before we go further?
Yes. It seems as though we're so easy to focus on what we're going through,
yes,
than to keep our eyes on Christ. It's just like if these little things happen to, oh me, oh my. So we take our focus off of Christ and we put it on our problem, and not keep giving it to Jesus.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. This is why no matter what you're going through, the enemy wants to use our emotions.
Yes.
Nobody's here for me, and nobody cares, and I'm the only one, and nobody would. See, if we're not allowing our emotions to be nailed and allow Christ to permeate our soul, which entails our mind, will, and our emotions, then we will base things on how we feel all the time, and we will never get anything accomplished for Christ.
Amen.
It is. I know many people have been wounded and scarred and you know, may have had a rough childhood, a bad childhood, may have been raped, molested, you name it. But God can deliver, and many people are held hostage to their emotions and their feelings, and they can never press forward because they put their eyes on people, on the circumstance, on the situation. And because of that, they fail to see the life of Christ come forth and bear fruit in their lives. Y'all see?
Yeah.
We have to keep our eyes on Christ. We're going to, another place we can go, is First Samuel, I think it is, 22. Just go on here. Keep your finger on Hebrews. We're done with Galatians 6. But in 1 Samuel 22, you'll find that David, who was a type of Christ, is no longer allowed in the camp of Jerusalem. He's been forced out by King Saul, who was jealous and in the flesh. And the scriptures tell us that those who were in the flesh always persecuted those who attempted to walk according to the leading and the dictates of the spirit, right? The same way that Cain persecuted Abel. Same thing with Jacob and Esau. So many others, right? So here you see King David was persecuted by King Saul. Instead of Saul keeping his eyes on God, who was willing to try to work with him, even though he was not God's choice, King Saul put his eyes on David and was very jealous and envious, right? Mm-hmm. And David would constantly find himself on the run. So here in 1 Samuel chapter 22, I think we'll start at verse 1, I want you to see that David, even though he was kicked out, he had to go to the cave of Adullam, okay? And let's read. Let's start at verse 1.
David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And
okay.
Everyone that
okay.
was...
Stop right there, sister. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm going to read these notes here.
Okay.
This cave was a large one near the city of Adullam in Judah, which was about 12 miles southwest of Bethlehem. This would be David's headquarters for a period of time. He would compose Psalm 57 on the occasion, and actually many of the psalms which were composed by David, and we might add, inspired by the Holy Spirit, were written during times of great distress. Okay? So this cave, keep going. This is the cave that David was forced to go to. Okay? Keep going, verse 2.
And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men.
Okay, remember, David represents a type of Christ, and we bearing their reproach. All those that were, David was in the cave of Adullam, and so was everyone that was distressed, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented. They gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. You see this? When we're looking to Jesus and we're bearing his reproach, we're discontented. We may be in debt. We may be having all kind of distressful moments. But as long as we're gathered, see, these moments help us to be headed up under Christ.
Yes.
And Christ can be Lord over all of us, see? The note says, David's position in the cave of Adullam is a type of the small remnant who truly are called of God and live for God. This is the position today in Christianity. The outward form of a testimony for God exists, but its living reality is only found among those who know, love, and serve their rejected Lord. See this? This is bearing his reproach, following him outside the camp. David was outside of Jerusalem, right? He was outside of Bethlehem or what have you, but he was forced out by King Saul. Went to this cave, and everybody that was distressed followed him. They were headed up under Christ. We read last week about Christ being the head. We have, in order to be the body, the true body, we're not talking about organization. We're talking about an organism, okay? An organism gets life supply from the head and the other joints and the members of the body. See this? We need one another.
Yes.
I can't just be individualistic. We each have a function and a purpose, and each function and purpose edifies the body.
Yes.
So that Christ's life, if grace is flowing and God is operating in and through each of us, his life will supply to the body. But we have to be headed up under Christ. He has to be captain over all of us.
Yes.
Body, our body, spirit, body, and soul, okay? So we have to learn to despise the things of the world and love Christ more. Now, notice here in the notes it says, such persons are despised by the great and proud and as well by much of the religious hierarchy. However, the Lord calls them the excellent in the earth, and he says that in them is all his delight. And that's Psalm 16:3.
Amen.
Okay? So this is bearing the reproach, following Christ outside of the camp of religion. You and I, this is an example of the things that we have to encounter, we will encounter while we're here on earth. Okay?
Yes.
Let me see here. I think that's all I want to read from there. Let's go back to Hebrews 13. Any questions on that before we go further? All right, we're going to go to verse 14. So we realize that we have to, the only way to go beyond or outside the camp is to first go beyond the veil, behind the veil, okay? Be dealt with by the sanctifier. Christ is there behind the veil or in the Holy of Holies, okay? And then once dealt with, we are able to go outside the camp. Don't try. A lot of people try to go outside the camp, and they hadn't been dealt with by God. They have not submitted themselves to the head by being crucified with Christ. This is the only way that life can flow through you and I to be able to bear the reproach of going outside of the camp. It ain't about the doctrines and the teachings and getting an understanding in the head. You and I have to allow the word to become spirit and life in our day-to-day practical experiences. We have to let the world see Christ in and through us.
Amen.
See, the world know how to be good. The world know how to give and do nice things. So it's not about the moral or the ethics behind our doing. But it's God wanting to make us sons and daughters. We are the first. Christ was the firstborn of many brethren. He sings in the midst of the church. He says that in Psalm and Hebrews chapter 2. And you're going to see this in a minute. So we have to allow his life. It's about an inward change where we're totally inwardly being transformed and then eventually conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Transformation has to take place first, then confirmation, meaning I'm in the image. So in Genesis, when we see that man was in the image of God, Christ is the image of the invisible God. Man is to be in the image of Christ. You see this? Christ's life, now that he's the life-giving spirit, because he was processed, is now in us. And this life has to come forth through us. They that worship him in spirit and in truth, in reality. That's what truth is, reality. So God's spirit speaks to our human spirit. And in Proverbs, I think, 27, it talks about how our spirit is the candle of the Lord. And God lights it. And that candle has to shine brighter and brighter, meaning our spirit has to grow. It has to shine. It has to allow Christ's life. We're ignited by him at regeneration, but then that candle has to grow brighter and brighter, meaning the light of Christ has to grow brighter and brighter in us.
Yes.
And that can only happen as I'm willing to follow him outside the camp, decreasing for his purposes.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Verse 14. Let's keep going.
For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
Okay. This continuing city or remaining city, is as it's translated, it means a permanent city. So he says, for we do not have here a permanent city, but we seek after the one to come. In other words, they're not looking for the earthly city here on earth. Remember, Abraham was not looking for that country. He kept seeking for something greater. Even though he might have been in Canaan, that wasn't the land that he was looking for. It's talking about this new Jerusalem that's going to come at the millennial reign when Christ returned on earth ruling, okay?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, or let me put it this way. It's talking about the city that comes out of heaven after the millennial reign. Let's put it that way. And so this is the new Jerusalem, the bride of Christ that comes down, and it will be the city where God dwells. So it says here, let me go to the notes here. We have to learn how to, we have to be like, the book of Hebrews is called Hebrews because it means river crossers. And we talked about Abraham and even the Israelites when they came out of Egypt, they had to cross over. See, had to cross rivers, cross over the sea, cross over. There's always a crossing over out of religion and following Christ. So there's going to be a constant crossing. They had to cross over the Jordan. So it's a constant crossing over, meaning that when we're following Christ, we're leaving the old. We always got to leave the old in order to follow Christ to become new in him. Okay? So here, we're not setting our sights on what we see here in the earthly realm. We're not looking for a permanent city that he's talking about like right now here on earth before, but we're looking to the future, the one that is to come. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Keep going, verse 15. Uh-huh.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Okay. So in order to do this, and I want to say a little bit more about this, not going to a permanent city. It says here, let me read the notes. The city signifies the earthly realm and the camp signifies human organization. The two signify one thing, the Jewish religion with its two aspects, the earthly and the human. Judaism is both earthly and human. For we do not have a permanent city, but we seek the coming one. This means that we do not have a permanent city, any organized realm, but we seek the coming one, God's holy city, the New Jerusalem. And that's in Revelation 21:2-10. So this is why we have to keep crossing rivers here while we're here on earth until the final city, the true city, the New Jerusalem, the holy city, God's holy city, that's our goal.
Amen.
Not about religious church. It's not about any organization, anything, or it's about the organism. Always remember that. Too many believers get caught up in the organization, any kind of organization. We get distracted and focus on the organization, which will have rules and laws and all kind of regulations, but it's about following Christ, who Christ is the head, and remember, we get our supply. He's the life-giving spirit, so all of the life supply comes from Christ as the head. Amen?
Amen.
So in verse 15, it says here that it's a continuation of verses 8 through 14. Since in the church life that we have, we enjoy the unchanging Christ as grace and follow him outside religion, we should offer through him spiritual sacrifices to God. First, in the church, we should offer up through him a sacrifice of praise to God continually. See? It's only through Christ, because we just read he's the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering. He's the captain and the lover of our soul. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We can't do anything without Christ.
Amen.
So we offer up a sacrifice of praise through him. Now,
Amen.
Watch this. The sacrifice of praise, it says here, we should offer through him spiritual sacrifices to God. First, in the church, we should offer up through him a sacrifice of praise to God continually. In the church, he sings in us hymns of praise unto God the Father. If you turn over to Hebrews, you don't have to turn, I can read it. But Hebrews 2 and verse 12, you see where Christ sings in the midst of the church, of his brethren. Okay? Let me get it here and I'll read it. You don't have to do it like we short on time. Time go by fast.
Amen.
We're having fun, so time goes by fast. So here in Hebrews 2, it says here, for both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, us, Christ is the sanctifier, are all of one. We're all one. One in the Godhead, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers. See that? Even though it says brothers, it includes the women too.
Amen.
This is what he says, saying, this is Christ saying this, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the midst of the church, I will sing hymns of praise to you. That's Christ speaking to about God, speaking to God about us. And again, I will trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given to me. Since therefore the children have shared in blood and flesh, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the might of death, that is the devil. So not only did Christ take care of our sin, he took care of Satan.
Amen.
Y'all see this? The cross of being his crucifixion took care of the old creation. He crucified all that. See, we just got to come into the reality of it. We don't understand. We sitting back thinking, oh, Satan doing this to me and Satan doing it. We hadn't come into the reality. Remember, Satan is a shadow. He comes in the shadow of death. He comes as a roaring lion. Why? Because as long as I'm in the flesh and I'm looking at things based upon my emotions, my mind, my will, he can deceive me into thinking I'm defeated.
Mm-hmm.
See this? But when I come into the reality and of who Christ is and learn how to eat his flesh and drink his blood and understand and comprehend what he's accomplished, then I say, Christ defeated Satan. Why am I fearing? Why do I fear death? He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. Y'all see this? His resurrection and ascension proves that the Bible says, he's seated in heaven until his enemies become what? Y'all help me out. Yes. You see this? Meaning
Amen.
That he's waiting on us to come into the reality.
Amen.
He's waiting on his body
Amen.
To be connected and realize the reality of what he's done for us.
Yes.
But as long as we're defeated and our minds have not changed, then we let the enemy, this is why he says, Peter, Simon, your name is Peter, meaning he's a small pebble of a bigger rock, right? And he says, and I will build my church based upon his confession that Christ is that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, we have to come into that revelation. Got to come into that reality, not just have a head knowledge of scriptures, but I have to come into experience the reality of that. Peter got it. Peter, he said, thou art, the Spirit gave him that revelation. He said, based upon that confession, I will build my church. And guess what? The gates of hell shall not prevail. You see?
Yes.
See this? Because he needs a people that come into the reality of this. This is the body. The body are those believers that's not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, who come into the revelation and the experience of Christ as the head of the church, who's defeated Satan, death, hell, and the grave, and we walk in that reality. We follow him, see, outside the camp of religion. Y'all remember we said it before. Religion ushers us. See, law ushered them to the right sacrifice. Law pointed the Israelites that they were in their own strength. They could not keep God's righteous commandments. Because of the fall and the failure and the weaknesses of their flesh, they could not. So God, instead of throwing them away, he was using the law to usher them and to go to the tabernacle, offer the right sacrifice. And if you offer the right sacrifice by faith, you're believing in a coming Redeemer, and you're saved. You just got to hold on until Christ comes. Y'all see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So many of them were probably in that religious environment but really didn't believe, or just like Cain, you know, yeah, he said bring a lamb, but I'm going to bring what I want. Mm-hmm. Sometimes being in religion, for a while we get sick and tired of it.
Yes.
And it should usher us to Christ. Y'all see this?
Amen.
Law, rules, regulation. It should usher us, the failure of it, the disappointment of it. And many of us have experienced it, the disappointment of religion and organized church. It's only God says, that's right. You can't in your strength keep my commands. You in your strength can't make yourself holy. You in your strength can't make yourself right. You in your strength can't be a good person. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for morality and good ethics. I'm looking for a son and a daughter who is submitted and committed to the head and willing to allow my life to be expressed through them. See that?
Amen.
This is how we become one and identify with Christ. This is how we eat his flesh and drink his blood. The world will ridicule you, even the religious church world. But you got to be so in love with your Lord and Savior that it doesn't matter. This is what Paul came, that's why he came to this conclusion. Paul didn't care. He was followed by the Jews, those whom he hung out with for the longest, until he came to Christ. He was followed by them constantly, persecuted by them always.
Yes.
But it did not stop him from living Christ. You see that?
Amen.
So you and I are going to bear in our bodies, as long as we're willing to follow Christ outside the camp, we're going to bear in our bodies the reproach of following him. So notice here, I read that just to say that Christ is singing in the midst of the church. So therefore, if he's singing in the midst of his brethren, it says, in the church, we too should praise God the Father through him. You see that?
Yes.
He's in the church. He sings in us hymns of praise unto God. So in the church, we too should praise God the Father through him. Eventually, in the church, he and we and he, praise the Father together in the mingled spirit. He, as the life-giving spirit, praises the Father in our spirit. And we, by our spirit, praise the Father in his spirit.
Amen.
That's what it means to offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Y'all know how it is. Mm-hmm. We get together and in the midst of the body or the church, and we come to do corporate worship and praise, and the Spirit of God just comes forth through us,
yeah,
because of your relationship on a day-to-day basis, and it is God singing in us. And when you open your mouth, guess what comes out? The fruit of your lips,
yeah,
confessing his name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let me see. I think I'm out of time. Let me double check. I am. We're out of time. Next week we'll finish these few scriptures, because it's just basically telling us here are a few more things that we as believers need to add to, as far as our Christian virtues. We need to allow the Spirit to add to our lives. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to take questions and comments at the end of the call, so don't hang up, just hold on the line. But we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We pray that we've said some things to help you understand Christ better, to help you take Christ as your own and become one with him so that his life can be lived out through yours and mine. So until next Tuesday, we'll look forward to seeing you again at 6:45. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week on Understanding God's Word. Thank you and be blessed.
Amen.